the theme of our series, which concludes today, how God desires to split the sky so that we can see the face of God. He did that through his son, Jesus. And in the words from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, Jesus splits the sky with these words of instruction to his disciples and to all those who were listening. These are the words he said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have learned from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you for splitting the sky with your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the way in which you have given us a clear picture of who you are. Thank you for the ways in which you invite us to be your friends. You instruct us through your word. You welcome us with your love. You empower us with your spirit. Lord, help us never to take these gifts for granted, but rather, as you have split the sky, help these words, these truths, to truly make our souls sing, so that we truly can be the people you have created us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is the end of our series, Split the Sky, and it's the end of the series by different names, in the worship center, a sacred soundtrack, and in the sanctuary earlier services, 8 and 9:30, entitled Then Sings My Soul. And so a lot of what I share today has got the phrasing of Then Sings My Soul, but it's got the nuance of splitting the sky, because our souls sing when we have the sky split by God so that we can see God's face. And if you've not listened to any of the messages because of vacation or travel, or even if you've missed just one, I encourage you to go back and to listen. Because over the course of this time, we've had the privilege of learning the backstories, of learning why it was that Amazing Grace was composed, of learning the impact of jazz in our life, and learning all of the backstories of celebrating Taizé in this space, and being able to appreciate different genres of music, from jazz to gospel to Taizé to classical. And along the way, it's our hope and our prayer that all of that has not just head knowledge, but it's caused your soul to sing. And so the question that I want to pose to you, and I would love for this to be part of our conversation today, that you can think about this and you can reflect on this, and if it so moves you to respond, then so be it. Want you to think about, what is it that causes your soul to sing? What is it that so inspires you, or you are so spirit-infused that your soul begins to sing? What is it? For John Newton, remember way back the first week of the series Split the Sky, when we focused on John Newton and we discovered what a deplorable person he was? He really was. He was disgusting. He was a despicable human being. In fact, so despicable was he, we learned If you want to hear the whole back straight and go back and hear it online, go to our Good Shepherd webpage. He was so despicable that history records that he was washed overboard on the ship he was serving on, washed overboard by a storm, the waves. Other accounts of that same incident say the waves had some help. His crewmates so despised him that when the opportunity came, they helped him go overboard. Then somebody in remorse thought, well, we can't just let him out there to drown. So instead of throwing him a life jacket, they harpooned him. They harpooned him and drug him back, and he forever walked with a limp because of that wound he had and because of the damage it did. They harpooned him, drug him back. They saved his life, but he was forever damaged by the saving process. So despicable was he. He was at one time in his life, John Newton, he was the master of a slave ship. And they didn't treat those human individuals very well on the slave ships. He was a despicable human being, and one day, God broke in on his life, and so the verse, I once was lost, but now am found, when he realized that God had found him, opened his eyes, that saved a wretch like me, that's how he felt, that's what he realized about his person. Then he wrote the song, then he composed the hymn, Amazing Grace. That God could love even someone as deplorable as me. That's John Newton's story. And he came to live in that amazing grace, and it forever caused his soul to sing. He went on to compose many, many other hymns, many that we sing in worship, but the most famous of all is Amazing Grace. Same is true of some of the other songs that we have sung. You heard the story of Horatio Spafford. Do you remember hearing that story? If you've not heard the story, go back and listen to it online. Horatio Spafford was at one point in his life, it's kind of a modern day Job story. He's the one who composed When Peace Like a River, or some of you know it is Well With My Soul. Well, he was a very successful businessman. The Great Chicago Fire wiped him out financially. Later on, when he sent his wife and four daughters overseas to London to help with a crusade over there, a religious crusade, and to help give them some space from the financial crises, there was a shipwreck. The wife was saved, but the four daughters drowned. Prior to that, he'd lost another son to illness. So his is a modern-day Job story. He'd lost five children. He'd lost all of his wealth. And yet when he, in the next ship, the ship that he went on across the big pond over to England, when he went on that ship and crossed the space where his daughters, they believe his daughters had drowned, it's then that God inspired him to write, When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Soul. And you know the rest of the song, when sea billows roll and talking about all the chaos in life, he could write, It is well with my soul, because he discovered God's peace in the midst of that chaos. God split the sky, enabled him to see. So what is it that causes your soul to sing? Thank you for the music today. It stirred my soul to sing. It really did. I love that rendition of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You see, the backstory to A Mighty Fortress, which really became known as the battle song of the Reformation, it became the national song of Germany during that time frame, was Germany, the Catholic Church, the church of the day, was in total chaos. Martin Luther, who at one point in his life, because of the teachings he'd grown up with in the church, believed that he had to earn his salvation, realized he could never do it. He would never be good enough to merit God's salvation. Never, ever, no matter how hard he tried. And I'm hard-pressed to find people who tried as hard as Martin Luther did. If you read history, you know how hard he tried to purify his soul, and he couldn't do it. But he discovered that God was his mighty mighty fortress, that not even the gates of hell could prevail against it. And when we read responsively Psalm 46 today, God is my refuge and strength, we know that verse because in the midst of a time when he was facing chaos, God was his ever-present support. In the midst of all that chaos, his ever-present support. The church was against Martin Luther and his writings. In fact, Martin Luther found so many things wrong with the church of his day that he posted 95 theses, 95 arguments, 95 statements about corruptions or misteachings that were in the church of his day. And I would invite you, if you see misteachings and misuse in the church of our day, we should welcome those corrections. God used him to bring the church back into sync with Scripture, into sync with Scripture like Psalm 46, to depend on God and God alone as our refuge and strength. It wasn't the Pope, it wasn't the church, it wasn't his own effort that would purify him and save him. It was Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And that's why the words of that song, A Mighty Fortress, make my soul sing. So what is it that makes your soul sing? What is it that causes your soul to sing? I think we need to ask that question, and in a little bit I'm going to invite your responses. But I think we need to ask that question because I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life and my spiritual life, I kind of get on automatic pilot. I do. For example, have you ever been going someplace where you go there routinely? Let's say it's to work or to the grocery store or someplace that you go routinely. You go about every day or you go very often. And you get to that place and you realize, how did I get here? I don't remember a single milestone between my home and getting here. All of a sudden, I'm here. I'm glad I'm safe. But I don't remember getting there. Have you ever had that happen where all of a sudden it was a blur? Maybe riding the train and all of a sudden, oh, man, I'm there. And you just ignored all the stuff along the way. Well, I have to confess to you, that has been a bit of a problem for me lately. I don't think it's Alzheimer's yet. That might be happening, but not yet. But I do have trouble with my memory from time to time, remembering to the point where I'll get a few blocks down the street and I'll think, did I close the garage door or not? Because I'm on automatic pilot and it's just automatic to hit the button, right? Have you ever had that? And this is a big deal because Shay leaves for work before I do. She lives really early. And so because our boys now live in their own homes, I'm the last one to leave our house. And that means if the garage door is open all day long, somebody could get in and get my softball equipment, you know? Or somebody could get in and get my precious gardening tools, and that would not be a good thing. And I have only myself to blame for that. So more often than not, it troubles me so much that I turn around and go back to check and make sure that I close the garage door. And of course, every time, it's closed. But I'm always thinking, maybe this will be the one time that I didn't do it. Well, this got to be such a problem, and I confessed to Shay that I'd done this, and which was really a big mistake, I gotta tell you, because apparently she doesn't have that problem, but the next day I found on the front seat of my car, this note. Step one, back out of the garage, assuming the door is open, okay? Step two, stop. Step three, close the garage door. Step four, watch it close. Step five, continue on your way and don't turn back. Well, I got to thinking about that because so routine am I in my life sometimes. I wonder, am I sometimes that way in my spiritual life? You know, I know that God is my mighty fortress. I know that. But each and every day do I wake up thinking my first thought of the day, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble no matter what comes my way this day. Is that my first thought? Now, sometimes I'm an automatic pilot. I know that's true. But do I embrace that? Do I think that? Do I share that with others? Does it make my soul sing to be able to proclaim that great truth? Sometimes we get on automatic pilot. This week, at least I know I do. This week, I got an automatic pilot wake-up call from one of our members. She was going through a challenging time with her parents. She has a dad who has severe dementia, a mom who has a lot of physical ailments, and they've just moved them to a care facility. That's the best place for them, and the parents know that. It doesn't mean it's not been a challenge. It has. But this last week, she sent me this note. Now, I know it's been a challenge in their life. I know it's been a big challenge. Anyway, she sent me this note. You know, it's really weird to say this, but I do see God in all of this. My parents' friends have come out and they've been offering help and all kinds of support. And my own friends are absolutely amazing. When we look at our troubles and the troubles in this world, you know, I think it's easy to ask, why? And it's easy to ask, why, God, can't you help? The truth is, God did. And God does. God created all of us with a little piece of Him in us to be the hands and feet and to show our love, God's love, to each other. And that's pretty great. I am humbled each and every day when I think of what my Savior did for me and how God shares His love to me through others. That kind of email makes my soul sing. It's kind of a wake-up call. Another song that makes my soul sing is Morning Cry. Do you know the song Morning Cry? We're going to sing it in a little bit. I'm pretty sure that song was sung at both my boys' baptisms. That's how I remember it. It's a song that was sung at a lot of baptisms years ago. A song that it engages us because it talks about God being present at every stage of our life. In fact, John Ulvaeusacher, who wrote the song, when it was written, these are the things that were said about that song, not by him, but by others. This song represents the dialectic opposite of both God's transcendence and God's immanence at the same moment. The transcendent God begins the hymn and the text, and throughout each stanza, most especially at the end, the words also reflect on the immanent God who is there at every phase of our life. This is one of those rare songs that transcends both traditional and contemporary music and speaks to us of God being present. There's no generational attachment, but rather it captures the best of both traditional and contemporary worlds and captures that transcendent, immanent God. At the very end, the surprise promise is also an acknowledgement that during our lives, there may come other surprises through which God has always been there to guide us. So some of you are aware that I was able to baptize our little granddaughter, Safira Charlotte Javoria Olson, just a couple of weeks ago. And her parents, her adoptive parents, Nathan and Sarah, were there to hear her morning cry. They were there to take her home from the hospital. They were there and will continue to be there according to their baptismal promises to help Safira as her faith awakens to the fact that God will always be there for her, loving her, showing her God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's joy, God's gifts, every phase of her life. Another of our grandchildren. I'm pretty shameless when it comes to showing grandchildren pictures. Remy was also baptized into those same promises. There he is, waving on his baptismal day to his adoring audience of relatives and family. He also experienced God's born and cry in his life. Yesterday when they came to visit, I got to read him Bible stories. And he's learning about all those people that God has used so that his soul will sing. Earlier today, at our two earlier services, Shay and her sister Elaine sang a duet entitled, I Love the Lord, because when I call, he hears my voice. I love that song because it makes my soul sing with the assurances that God is with us in all circumstances. And when we call, God will always be there to hear our prayers. God declares through the words of the prophet Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, plans to give you hope and a future. And that truth makes my soul sing. Jesus declares in our gospel for today, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, God may give it to you. That truth makes my soul sing. So sometimes I wonder about my spiritual autopilot nature, and I was reminded about that again when one of our Friday folders told us a story about what happened to her just 10 days ago. She was out walking her dog, and sometimes her dog has a mind of its own. And the dog had seen the little children next door and wanted to go and play with them. And in the process of her going one way and the dog going the other way and wrapping the leash around her, in the process she fell and cut her head. And you know what happens when you cut your head? It really bleeds. And it banged up her glasses, and she was there trying to pick herself up. And her neighbor very kindly brought her dog back to her and then left. And she was kind of miffed because they never asked. She was glad to get the dog back, but she was bleeding all over herself, and he never asked how she was. Could I help? And I thought about that in the context of, oh my goodness, how could you miss something so obvious as that? And then I stood back and I thought, okay, are there some things in my life that are obvious to others and I've missed them because I'm on spiritual autopilot? Those kinds of realizations don't make my heart sing, but it does make my heart sing when people do respond, when people so love the Lord that they want to love as Jesus instructed in our gospel for today. Because they realize that that's what God commands of us, and that's how we remain in God's love, and that's how God's joy is in us and our joy is made complete. Rick Warren once wrote these words which stuck for me. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purpose for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing it. That phrase made me step back once again and think about being on spiritual autopilot. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purpose for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing it. We celebrate Labor Day this weekend. When we labor in our vocation or our retirement or whatever our lifestyle is these days, God still gives each of us vocation. Vocation to share his love. Vocation to serve others as God has first loved and served us. And when we use our labors and the fruit of our labors to give offerings that are more than just tokens but true expressions of gratitude, offerings which are impactful, then our souls sing. So what is it that makes your soul sing. What is it that makes your soul sing? And now I'm going to pause for a moment. And I'm going to invite response. What is it that makes your soul sing? Any thoughts? I've shared some of mine with you today, David.
Service to other people.
Does it make your soul sing when you're in Haiti?
Yes.
Make your soul sing when you're serving here at home as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Serving others makes your soul sing. There's really nothing beyond, it's beyond compare. Charlotte?
When I realize that God's light
is shining through me. Yeah. And maybe you didn't even realize it. That's pretty cool. When you realize God's light is shining through you. How cool is that? What else? Other ways that God allows your soul to sing. Other thoughts for our 11 community today. Any other thoughts? What is it that makes? Robert?
Yeah, just seeing small children and wondering how marvelously they're made.
Seeing small children, the wonder in their eyes, seeing how things are made, even seeing how they're made.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, good. What else? Yes, Monica.
Feeling his presence in times of trouble.
Feeling his presence in times of trouble. Certainly John Newton felt that. Certainly Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World, felt that. You know the backstory to Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World? He was bored with the songs they sang in church. He was bored with church. So his dad said, well, you think you can do better, write something better. So he did. He started writing hymns, including Joy to the World. He did pretty good. Did pretty good and made his soul sing. Yeah. I'm glad his dad said what he said. Any other thoughts? Wendy.
Being out in nature and experience God's creation.
God's creation in nature. Yeah. Yeah, it makes my heart, my soul. Second that one. Yeah. Last year, Shay and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and we did it by going to Utah. We went to the major national parks of Utah. We went to Zion and Bryce Canyon and Capitol Reef and Arches, and oh my goodness, the splendor of nature, which is all around us. It's all around us. It is.
More so in the mountains.
It struck me. I'd never seen those formations before. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Kind of yep.
Yep. I think, yeah, listening to God's voice, waiting, and then seeing God act. Yeah. Sometimes I struggle with the waiting part. I get that. But I think that's what Jesus wanted us to hear in the gospel today. I really do. I think he wanted us to listen and to pay attention and wait and then see what God did. Yeah.
In times of searching or struggling or desperation, when you see God has thrown you an anchor, you realize you were alive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, when you're beyond your abilities, all those desperation moments, yeah, and you see God comes through. Boy. Any others? Those are great. Thanks for sharing. I want to invite you to continue to think about that question throughout this week. What makes my soul sing? And think about the stories and the things that have been shared today. And because I do believe that when truly we love as God invites us to love and care as God invites us to care and serve as God invites us to serve and recognize that God is a mighty fortress, and that he hears our mourning cry, and he's with us in every phase of our lives, then our souls sing. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for stirring our hearts to sing. Lots of great, great thoughts about how that happens in our lives. Allow us, dear Lord, this day, to realize just how great you are and how you work in and through our lives. Amen.